civilian review board focused on police accountability in the charter, but recommend creating a separate process to explore how best to accomplish that goal. In our view, a targeted task force made up of members selected by the mayor and auditor with an understanding of our existing system should be formed within the next 2 years and charged with developing a recommendation. A future charter commission would not be well suited for the task, as charter commission members are selected by city council without auditor involvement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and council. This is the first time I've been part of this body. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and you will definitely be seeing me again. There's been a lot of discussion about whether people are for or against the charter amendment being proposed, and I think that too many people fixate on for or against because there are details that are what really important, and that's what auditors, we count on auditors to be very exacting about those kinds of details. I challenge anybody in this room right now to tell me what we're considering right now as a charter amendment, because there's so many amendments floating around. There was stuff that was introduced today that I never saw before, and people prepared testimony on what was already presented to us. This is our Constitution. What's the rush here? Why do we have to have it on this May ballot? Let's get this right. Let's have a longer discussion. We actually agree with Commissioner Saltzman that the Ombudsman's Office shouldn't go in the charter amendments being made now. However, we agree that it should also be in the charter, that we proposed this in the last two charter commissions that came up in 2007 and 2011, that the Ombudsman, a police review agency, not necessarily called IPR, and the Human Rights Commission, actually, we think all should be in the charter, as they're very crucial, and they also come at odds with the city attorney's advice, and they all need the independence that's being talked about today. So I want to make sure that people understand we're not opposed to the city auditor having more independence or getting independent legal counsel. We just think this is being rushed unnecessarily, and for whatever discussion's been happening out in the community, and to the extent that the auditor is listening to people, and we appreciate the IPR being taken out of here, it's just happening too fast. So I also want to add that the Ombudsman, one of the problems with the Ombudsman's office, the way it exists now, is I personally had a problem with an elected auditor and an IPR director, tried to file a complaint, and they said, first of all, they can't take a complaint against an elected official, and second of all, they wouldn't take a complaint against their own boss or somebody else in their office. And so as long as the IPR and Ombudsman are in the same place, how do you file a complaint about the IPR? These are things that need to be considered before we put the Ombudsman's office in the charter. And that's not even written into the ordinance that says they're not supposed to investigate other parts of the auditor's office. It's just a practice that happens. Again, we very much appreciate having an independent counsel be part of this. This is something that was recommended by the stakeholder group about IPR. This has the hallmarks of what happened with the proposals to change IPR, where things happen behind closed doors and too fast for the community to really be involved in it. We also think the outside contracts to review the auditor's office should have a set number of years, probably 2 or 3 years, and not any longer than that. And we'll try to send in some more written comments based on what was added today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony.
Next three are Robert Wright, Chris Broderick, and Bob Tackett. And they'll be followed by Tracy Prince, John Calvin, and Rehana Ansari. Robert Wright, Chris Broderick, and Bob Tackett. Okay, let's go ahead and go with Tracy Prince and John Calvin. And Rehana. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Robert Wright. I live in the West End and I'm a proud Portland native. After a 27-year career in the United States Air Force and seeing much of the world, I returned to the best place on earth. In the Air Force, I shouldered the responsibility of command 4 times. Certainly, military and civil organizations are not the same, but they hold something very much in common, the need for independent, unfettered investigation and reporting outside the influence and pressures of the chain of command. At the highest levels in the military organization, there was the Office of the Inspector General, the IG, a feared organization if you were on the operational side of the military. Investigations helped ensure that taxpayer money was spent legally and efficiently, that graft and corruption did not exist, and that people were treated fairly with equal opportunity for all service members. Of course, commanders had these same fundamental responsibilities. But for the IG, it was there just to make sure. The directly elected city auditor is essentially the IG for the city council and the citizens of Portland to ensure unbiased planning and execution of programs in the best interests of the city. Auditor responsibilities for this elected position are on par with commissioners. The office should not be buried within city government bureaucracy. This has the appearance of being vulnerable to bias pressures from the very offices and bureaus and their programs subject to investigation. But this may be more than just appearance. During the last year, the ombudsman in the auditor's office reported serious conflicts of interest and a violation of long-established ethics requirements in the development of the Central City 2035 plan for the West Quadrant. Some that had served on an advisory committee simply refused to comply with the report's recommendations for full disclosure of financial interest. With no city follow-up, this is much more than just troublesome. To ensure the freedom of action and independence in operations and budgeting, the auditor must report directly to the City Council. This amendment to the City Charter must be put before the voters in this upcoming May ballot. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Tracy Prince. I've termed out as president of Goose Hollow. I'm now vice president. So, Goose Hollow supports the auditor's proposal for removing the office to be independent. We also vehemently object to removing the ombudsman from that process. We want the ombudsman to be independent. We want it codified in charter so that it can't be overturned by City Council. I was not at the work session, but I have had a chance to read Commissioner Fritz's concerns. I have so much respect for her and for what she has done for my neighborhood and our city. She is often the commissioner who catches the small details with big implications. So I hope that her concerns can be addressed so that this can go to the May ballot. Please wait 1 week to give time to process this. I think it'll be a much stronger package if it goes to the voters with Commissioner Fritz's endorsement, since the voters know that she cares quite clearly about ethical governance. Goose Hollow, perhaps more than any other neighborhood, can tell you why the auditor and the ombudsman's independence is important. We've seen questionable behavior, like PBOT staff stacking the Central City Stakeholder Advisory Committee with the three companies who own the most parking spaces in downtown, who then voted to deregulate parking. We know that the outrageous financial conflicts of interest we saw on the West Quadrant Plan Stakeholder Advisory Committee were scoffed at by Planning Bureau staff and would never have been brought to the light of day without the ombudsman. After the ombudsman brought them to the light of day, this was quickly followed by threats from the mayor for the auditor. We know that at every level of Portland government, residents are not considered significant stakeholders, while developers and those who stand to gain financially are the most esteemed stakeholders. This leads to giant ethical problems across all bureaus. We need robust and independent oversight. The ombudsman's office should have the same independence the auditor seeks. The ability to hire separate legal counsel is an important issue for both the auditor and the ombudsman. The ombudsman undoubtedly received legal advice from city attorneys on the West Quadrant SAC process, requiring that SAC members should have disclosed their financial obligations before the Central City 2035 plan went to the Planning Commission. Yet Planning Bureau staff sought legal advice from the same city attorneys who told them that disclosure by conflicted SAC members wasn't necessary before going to the Planning Commission. As they voted on Central City 2035, their argument was that no vote by the commission can be overturned in court, so therefore it's not necessary. Shockingly, this is actually true. It can't be overturned under current ethics laws, which I hope to change. Let me quickly go through this because it has to do with why the legal thing.
Can I ask you to be very quick because you're at your 3 minutes.
Yep.
We've got lots of people waiting.
So the ombudsman should have the ability to seek its own legal counsel separate from the city, and that is why I think they should be independent as well. And we deserve to have that independent oversight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. I'm Raihana Ansari, Government Relations Manager for the Portland Business Alliance. The proposed amendments before you today represent an opportunity for an important community conversation. We believe that voters should have the opportunity to review the merits of this proposal, and we therefore support referring the proposed charter changes to the voters. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
That's the most succinct testimony I've heard in years. Thank you.
I can't say my name that quickly.
Next three are Lightning, Mark Velke, and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And they will be followed by Shirley Rackner. I believe the first name is Bora Harris and Roger Leachman.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and we haven't talked enough about the dreaded asterisk, but you did this morning have a lot of input from Joe Walsh, who will often say, emergency, emergency, because when we expedite things, we call them emergencies here. So I think it would actually be good to actually have the city attorney or yourselves inform the people of the exact date, the last date this could possibly be referred onto the May ballot if it passed as an emergency, so that we have an idea of the time frame. Some people have said we can even wait beyond May, but the League of Women Voters has offered a lot, and I'm in favor of, I think, getting it on the chart as soon as possible. But there's really so much on the table that we need to open up some space for vigorous discussion. I'm sorry that Commissioner Fish had to step out, because I think what he meant to say was when he has the discussion with the LWV, we want to make sure that also Ms. Hall Caballero or somebody from her office can also be in a dynamic conversation, because, of course, we're talking about the balance of power between the auditor's office and y'all. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to let you know my opinions on this subject today. My name is Mark Velke. I live in the Goose Hollow area, and I am a board member on the Goose Hollow Foothills League Neighborhood Association, and we voted unanimously to support the Auditor's Office and City Ombudsman request today. We represent about 6,500 citizens. However, these are my own opinions, and they just happen to match those of my neighborhood association. First, I would like to praise the Auditor's Office and the City Ombudsman for the great work they are doing. Two recent examples of that are the report on the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the West Quadrant Plan Stakeholder Advisory Committee report on, frankly, incredible ethics violations. Keep up the fantastic work. So to continue to do that, and even more, they need City Council's support today. And let's talk about what the Auditor's Office and City Ombudsman are asking you to do. Okay, this is a complete no-brainer. This has to be one of the easiest votes you will ever cast. It really boils down to this. Are you for more transparency and accountability, or are you against it? Okay, I would hope that every one of you are for more transparency and accountability. So, do the right thing and refer to all of us here, the citizens and voters, so we can pass it by a landslide for inclusion in the city charter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to address Mr. Johnson's question.
Thank you.
This needs to be decided prior to Thursday, February 2nd, to be referred to the May ballot.
And that's if it's an emergency. If it's not an emergency, we need even less.
It's a resolution. It's not an ordinance.
So darn. Thanks.
Thank you both.
Next three are Shirley Rackner, Bora Harris, and Roger Leachman. And they'll be followed by Suzanne Leonard, Kasha Rutledge, or Mark Kramer, and Deanna Mueller-Crispin.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. I'm Shirley Rackner. I live in Southwest Portland. I was on my way to Washington, D.C. last Thursday to join a million other Americans in support of all that we value and honor in our democracy. Knowing it was going to be a long trip, I had taken a local newspaper to read, and the first article I read was concerning the auditor's office. I admit the extent of my knowledge about the auditor's office is that I had voted for someone to do this important job. I must say that this afternoon I've learned more about the office. The further I read, I realized that this issue was complex. This afternoon I realized how complex, and that the commissioners might have concerns on the question of independence for the auditor's office. That was somewhat understandable. What was not understandable, as I read, was why not give the residents of Portland a voice on this and allow them to look at the question and vote one way or another. To further understand the issue, I found that the current structure of the elected auditor's office could be second-guessed by the commissioners and other unelected city offices, which is rather confusing since the definition of an audit is, I quote, an official inspection by individuals of organizations, typically by an independent body led by a CPA. That seemed very simple to me. It's also my understanding, like you, the auditor is democratically elected and should be independent. I ask the question, what makes this so difficult for this council to give the voters the opportunity to democratically decide on this question? And I must say, the irony did not escape me as I was flying to a people's march asking for a voice in our government.
Thank you for that. I can just picture you going to that march. When it's referred to the ballot, it's either yes or no. So as you've heard earlier, it's not whether to send it to the ballot. It's exactly what are we going to send to you, the voters, for a yes or no. So it's very important that we get the details right. I'd also say that I think if the council had the ability to influence the auditor too much now, that certainly has not shown up in the audits that I've had and each one of my colleagues has had. So I'm astonished that people think that I had anything to do with that.
Good afternoon. The podium has already been addressed. I'm Deborah Harris, a.k.a. Bora. My presence is not personal, but about what is honest, what is fair, what is ethical, and what should be real transparency. Studying the organizational structure, I support and appreciate the need for change and see much value placed in the Office of Ombudsman into charter. I began to reflect on the current and past state of police accountability and inconsistencies, credibility, and, lack of transparency. Consideration of the IPR into charter should not be a question. No. The auditor's office monitors practices, programs, policies, not manage offices. The auditor's office, the IPR should be put underneath a judge for disciplining practices and patterns. The charter is valuable for it allows we the people to vote if a shift needs to be made, not just a handful of city council members who are fixed with a culture of making decisions in a nanosecond in their best interest. Charter helps restore the credibility that we the people should have of the auditor's office. It allows the auditor's office to simply do its job. When groups or individuals have the power to hover over auditor's office, it suppresses the auditor's ability to fulfill its mission. I support the need to create a budget process. In prior discussions, I have expressed the need for independent audits of some of our bureaus with untrackable tracking spendings. Where there are little to no trails, tracking can be quite difficult. Establishing an independent budget clearly says you can't touch it. Then the fear factor of the auditor's budget being detracted is no longer there. When the auditor's office can count on an expected budget when it's needed, it opens more opportunities for independence. When many groups or individuals have been granted so much power, but has never understood the administration of the powers, we have witnessed these results of the outcome over and over again. The writer Edgar Poe said, "Be not the first by whom the new is tried, nor the last to lay the old aside." Many changes outlined by the auditor's office are not new. Laying the antiquated, the old aside is a necessity for positive change. And in closing, my closing statement begins with three carefully chosen words: cut the cord. The cord, that source of power connected to the auditor's office that does not allow it to function as it is designed to function, or as we the people expect it should function, with independence, transparency, and justice. I see real value of the auditor's office needing its independence legal advice from the city attorney, because the city attorney needs to be separate. She needs her own. The auditor's office, it needs its own legal advice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Leachman, and I serve on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. Tip O'Neill famously said, "All politics is local." True or not, it has more appeal than the national, where Professor Lasky's words written over half a century ago have a bitter irony. The elaborate farce of the Electoral College is still enacted, even though all the world knows that it has lost any meaning. Back to the local. Nothing is more local than a neighborhood association. Citizens, neighbors come together, discuss robustly the issues that affect them, and take action. We proudly follow Bud Clark's charge to our association, that it was founded by residents and business owners to defend Goose Hollow from outside forces not acting in the neighborhood's best interest, and to create a vision of better livability. In that advocacy, we often can relate to Commissioner Udaly's description at the work session of people who felt disenchanted and unheard by their city. So where can they turn? Where can the general citizenry find a little hope? We take heart, then, when the ombudsman calls out BPS over conflicts of interest during the West Quadrant process, a report for which she got a lot of grief, as you have heard. Prima facie evidence, she's doing her job. And why her office should be in charter and not just in code. We take heart from the auditor's report on ONI. Without these exercises in accountability, how would reform, much needed reform, come about? How would more respect and trust in the government of our city be fostered? Ensuring transparency and accountability is the auditor's charge. Give her the means to follow that. As my friend Mark said earlier, it's a no-brainer. I urge you to refer it to the voters. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
The next three are Suzanne Leonard, Kasia Rutledge, Deanna Mueller Crispin, and we'll go with Mark Kramer.
Sorry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Thank you.
I'm Suzanne Leonard. I'm co-director, co-founder and director of the International Making Cities Livable Council and resident downtown. I respectfully encourage you to accept the city auditor's proposed charter amendment and place it on the May ballot. It's essential that the city auditor's office is independent, free from the fact or appearance of conflicts of interest. The public expect and deserve transparency and accountability in their city government. The Charter's four amendments are most appropriate. Placing the Independent Police Review and the office, especially the Office of Ombudsman, into Charter. Authorizing the auditor to obtain independent legal advice that is focused on the mission of the auditor's office. Creating an independent budget process that ensures the auditor's office is appropriately funded and insulated from political interference, and affirming the auditor's office is autonomous from the Office of Management and Finance and other bureaus. I hope Portland will lead the way in government accountability and transparency. Please accept the charter amendment and place it on the May ballot. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I just need to say, as soon as one of our colleagues gets back, I have to leave, unfortunately. I have a city business appointment that I need to get to. But I will watch the remainder of the testimony and expect to participate in the discussion next week.
I think we're the last speakers.
Thank you.
Oh, are you? Well, in that case, I'll just listen to
Are these, I'm sorry, Carly, are these the last speakers? Madam Clerk, I'm sorry to interrupt. Are these the last speakers?
Oh, yes.
Fabulous.
Yes, that works. Thank you.
My name is...
Thank you.
Is that okay with the auditor?
Thank you.
You can ask. Okay. My name is Mark Kramer. I'm a member of the Portland chapter, the National Lawyers Guild, Mayor Wheeler and Council. The Portland chapter, the National Lawyers Guild supports the auditor's proposal. For over a decade, we've been intimately involved in police accountability in Portland. I was part of Mayor Katz's 2000 work group. I was part of Mayor Adams' 2010 work group. We were going to be part of the work group that the former mayor was going to initiate last fall. So through that time, we've come to know the ways in which the auditor's lack of independence negatively impacts the effectiveness of its programs. The credibility of the ombudsman and IPR depends entirely on the independence of the auditor from the city. The most obvious problem, particularly from a lawyer's point of view, is the auditor's lack of independent counsel. The Guild, along with many other organizations, recommended independent counsel as part of the 2010 Stakeholder Committee. Unfortunately, that proposal did not reach fruition. Regardless of whether the city attorney's joint representation of the city and the auditor's office, and in particular IPR, is an ongoing ethical conflict of interest, there are times in which the auditor takes positions which are materially adverse to the city. For example, the Guild and other groups are upset and concerned about PPB's use of rubber bullets and tear gas at the J-20 demonstrations. There have been and will be complaints filed with IPR. The same city attorney's office is going to be advising PPB on the use of rubber bullets, on the use of tear gas, on the application of force, is going to be advising IPR, who's going to be investigating that. That's a conflict of interest. This perceived conflict, whether real or not, reduces transparency in government and creates a lack of trust in the auditor's services. This, in turn, is part of the lack of trust of IPR, and that, in turn, causes litigation when litigation is not necessary in every case. If we had a credible police accountability system, and the auditor's proposal is one step toward that, many citizens' complaint that head to court could be resolved otherwise. The Guild strongly urges the city to adopt the auditor's charter changes and to do so now. Making changes to code will not be sufficient because what the council creates in code can be changed. It is also in the city's best interest to propose these charter changes immediately to increase confidence in the auditor's programs, and we appreciate your thoughtful consideration of the auditor's proposal.
Thank you, sir. Last but not least.
Well, we'll see. I'm Deanna Mueller Crispin. I live in the West End. Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I do urge you to support the city auditor's proposed changes to give the auditor's office, including the ombudsman, real independent authority, as so many people have said this afternoon. Among the ombudsman's duties are receiving and investigating citizen complaints against administrative acts of city government, which of course includes complaints against conflicts of interest, which applies as well to appointees to boards and city volunteers. I got a lot of this from your website, such as stakeholder advisory committees, SACs, and you've heard quite a bit about that today. However, I would like to point out that without the ombudsman's taking up of this issue, these conflicts of interest would never have come to public light. It has to come to public light in order to maintain the credibility of government and the faith in our government. However, it certainly seems clear to most of us that the auditor's office and the ombudsman cannot have much power to affect real change in behavior of city officials, including employees or appointees, when they are dependent on the city, perhaps on the same offices against which citizen complaints are brought, for their budget and legal services. For example, the ombudsman's requirement or request, I'm not quite sure which, for their ex post facto declarations of conflicts of interest from the West End SAC members have not yet been fully implemented. For real independence and effectiveness, the auditor's office needs to have legal counsel independent, have independent budget, and be able to make their own management decisions. Please put this on the May ballot. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So I believe we've completed the testimony. We're going to lose our quorum. So with the permission and approval of the auditor, we will continue this next Wednesday at 3:15 p.m. That will be a time certain. We will make sure that there's nothing else after that, so we will have plenty of time to discuss it. I apologize we weren't able to get it all done today, but I think with the number of comments and amendments, it'll probably help us to have that discussion anyway. Commissioner
Mayor,
Fish?
Mayor, my hope is that since you're continuing this hearing, it means that we can continue to receive comments from the public in writing or by email. And my hope is that we can take the amendments on the table and see whether they can be resolved. The auditor has to decide which of these concepts she's willing to accept into her proposal. My hope is that at the end of this process, we'll come back next Wednesday with the revised auditor's proposal, a clear understanding if there are any remaining amendments, and that we would simply, Mayor, at that point, take votes on the amendments and on the package.
Very good.
So, to clarify, we have closed the public testimony in terms of oral, but are accepting written comments through next week.
Right. So that the hearing next week will be for the purpose of reviewing any revised proposal from the auditor, considering any amendments which are still on the table, and then casting the final vote on the referral. There.
Very good. Last word to the auditor. Please.
Be brought next week or okay.
No.
Thank you.
Now we're done with amendments and we're done with the
The only thing, Madam Auditor, that could happen is if there's an amendment on the table which you don't accept in its current form, but you're able to negotiate the way you have on other issues, then I would expect that would be incorporated into a substitute that you would bring.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Final word?
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate all the people who came here today. And I look forward to continuing the discussion next week.
That's excellent. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.